If you have a Bible this morning, if you'd open with me to the 22nd chapter in Genesis. Genesis chapter 22. And just one thought, one verse from there. There are, of course, many different methods and ways that people study the Bible. Topically, they look at characters and study the biographies of those in the scriptures and many different ways. And one way that people use to study the scriptures, and I think there's validity to it, something called the law of first mention. The law of first mention. And particularly it pertains to the book of Genesis, and you can look at this somewhere, just Google it, you'll find it, and you can see for yourself whether you adhere or not. But when something is first mentioned in the Bible, there are those that feel it has significance and importance that carries through the whole of Scripture. And it's not incongruent to then translate or think of that theme throughout the whole of the Bible. For instance, where is sin first mentioned in the Bible? And where is shed blood first talked about and mentioned in the Bible? And in those laws of first mention, and you carry that through and through the scriptures, and you'll have helps to do that. Well, one of them, and I'm not going to say any more about that, but one of the laws of first mention is found here in Genesis chapter 22. And I think it's rather significant because, let's just think about what happened in Genesis 22. You know the story of Abraham. It starts in Genesis 12. And it's a long story. And there's certainly a lot of ups and downs and in and outs. But Abraham and Sarah, his wife, went from where they had lived and went out not knowing whither they went. But they went by faith, Hebrews 11 says. And they followed. They didn't know where they were going. But the Lord was leading them into a place that he would prepare and provide for them. It would take a long while. They got stuck along the way in Haran for 15 or so years. And Abraham wasn't always as faithful to the call of God and to what God had asked of him, and not even at the inception when the Lord said, I want you to leave your people, I want you to leave your kindred, I want you to leave your country. Well, Abram didn't really leave them all. He brought some of them along with him, and that's the reason why he got stuck. But that's another story also. He did learn. The walk of faith is a learned process. You don't start perfect. You don't start pleasing to the Lord in every aspect or area, but we grow. We grow in grace. We learn to walk by faith. And certainly Abraham learned to walk by faith. And no, Eliezer's not the heir to the promise. No, Hagar isn't the one either. She's your wife now, but no, she's not. You and Sarah are going to have a child. And Abraham had to learn all along the way. And he was taught. And the Lord spoke to him, and so the story progressed until they finally, Abraham and Sarah, after 25 years of waiting, holding on to the promise, Romans says, Abraham didn't stagger at the promise of God through unbelief. He counted the one faithful who had promised him. Me and you, Sarah, we're going to have a child. We can't. I'm 100 years old, and you're not far behind. You're 90. This can't be. It's impossible. Her womb is as good as dead, we read in the book of Hebrews. But yet, against all odds and against human possibility, Abraham believed God. And Romans tells us it was counted to him for righteousness, his faith in God. And well, Genesis 22 comes around and the Lord speaks to Abraham. And Isaac is now, we don't know exactly how old he was. But he's not a little boy. I mean, he's not a toddler. I'm going to just guess that he's in his teens, early teens, mid-teens. Some people think late teens. I don't know how old Isaac was. But one day, Abraham hears the Lord say to him, Abram, I want you to take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and I want you to sacrifice him on the mountain. Immediately, that next morning, early the next morning, Abram obeyed. Fully, completely, said, come on, Isaac, we're going. Where are we going? I'll tell you in a minute. We're going up the mountain. And they started going up towards Mount Moriah, and they got a little ways up, and Isaac was carrying the wood for an altar. The wood for an altar that he didn't know at the time, but he was going to be the sacrifice. And could you imagine? I can't imagine. I can't imagine the feeling that Abraham had. But yet, by faith, I don't know what God's going to do. I don't know how God's going to do this, but God's going to do something, because this is the promised child that I've waited 25 years to have. I've now had him. Sarah and I have had him. We've raised him. But the next generation depends upon him. All the promise of God depends upon, not me, I'm about ready to die, but my son, Isaac. And we're not going to have another one. I mean, I can't see that happening. And so I don't know what the Lord's going to do. I'm going to go up and do what God told me to do. He told me to take my son, my only son who I love, and sacrifice him there on the top of Mount Moriah. And so that's what I'm going to do. And every step of the way was a step of faith. Nearer to having to do what God had called him to do, which was to kill the promise. Yet he believed that God could even raise the dead. And so that's, I guess, what was going through Abraham's mind. I'm going to have to take the knife and plunge it through my son, whom I love. But God's going to have to raise my son from the dead because of the promise. Because he's faithful who promised. I can't imagine the wrestling match. I can't imagine the faith or the magnitude that Abraham displayed. But the law first mentioned is found in, see if I could find the verse, the seventh verse. They get to a certain juncture going up the mountain, fifth verse. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there." Now here it is. We will worship. We will worship and then we'll be back. We'll worship and then we'll come back to you. So all the servants that were helping and walking with Abraham and Isaac, they stayed right there. But the first time in the Bible that you find anything about worship is not when David writes, "Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." It's not when David says, "Let's come and worship before him and fall down before him." That's not the first mention. The first mention is Genesis 22. When Abraham said to his servants, "Me and Isaac, the two of us, we're going to go worship." Now, what were they going to do? Who's bringing the guitar? Who had the drums? Who had the trumpets? And who had the, what do you mean worship? They won't worship? Did they have a songbook? Or were they just going to sing worship choruses? What do you mean we're going to go worship? You know, we understand worship as something maybe a little different than the Bible explains what worship is to us. We think worship is the hour on Sunday morning. What are we doing now? We're going to go worship. Who's going to lead worship? Well, they're going to lead worship. He's leading worship. Let's have worship now. That's not what worship is. I can think of a few other Hebrew words for what that is all about, but it's not worship. The word worship is a completely different word. And it's what Abraham and his son were going to go to do. And I don't think they sang a song. Maybe they did, I don't know. They weren't going to sing songs. They weren't going to express their Tehillah or their Hillel or anything to the Lord. They were going to worship. And it had nothing to do with song. It had all to do, well, what did it have to do with? One of them was going to be fully, completely laid on an altar of sacrifice. And you remember Abraham's words, "Not only am I going to worship, so's Isaac. We will go, we are going to worship." Well, how's Isaac going to worship? Isaac is going to worship by laying himself down on an altar of sacrifice, completely, totally yielded and surrendered. It's what we were talking about last night when we took ourselves to the door and got nailed to the door. Because if you have my ear, you have me, my heart, my soul, my feet, my hands. You got me. I am yours. I am a love slave, a doulos of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what worship is. That was what worship meant to Isaac. It's a complete given in sacrifice. Sacrifice. Well, what did it mean for Abraham? He wasn't going to be the sacrifice. He didn't have to yield himself. Well, he had to give his best. He had to give his son, his only son, who he loved. He had to be willing to part with that which was dearest to him. Maybe Jesus would put it this way. Your own life also. Not only your relatives and your kin and your close friends and your cronies, but your own life also. And if you're not willing to do that, well, then you're really not able to worship. Worship is not singing the song. Worship is not something that we do once in a while. And worship is not something that somebody leads me in. And worship is something that I do, that you do, and we do it every day. We take up our cross, Jesus said. What do you mean, take up my cross? What's that mean? I wear mine around my neck, or I wear one, I got one in the church, it's on the top. No, we take up our cross. That means death. That means every day we die. We lay down on an altar of sacrifice. We lay next to Isaac, and Isaac could have run. I think he could have. He wasn't too. And when he finally got to the place where he said, Dad, we got the wood and we got the fire. We got everything we need for a sacrifice, but we don't have the sacrifice. And Dad said, God will provide. God will provide. They went on a little further. When did it dawn on Isaac? When did it finally dawn on the poor boy that he's the sacrifice? They got up to the top of the mountain. They built the altar. You could see Isaac building his own altar, digging his own grave. And here he finishes building the altar, and Abraham lays his son. I think it was dawning on Isaac what was happening now. Why didn't he get up and run? Did he trust God? Did he trust his father? Did he trust the God of his father? Not knowing what was going to be, but Father knows best. And I'm willing to do whatever I have to do, even in laying down my own life. That's worship. That's worship. And that's what the Lord calls you to do. You don't have to necessarily open your mouth to worship. You have to live your life in a way that it's totally not yours anymore. Crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. The Apostle Paul, taking off on the words of Jesus, when Jesus said, take up your cross daily and follow me. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. I die daily. What are you dying to? Self? To my own plans and wishes and aspirations and desires? I die to all of that, and I take up the cross freely, willingly, volitionally. It's my privilege to live for him who gave his all on a sacrifice for me. Who didn't have to and who could have run just like Isaac could have gotten up and run, but he didn't run. Oh, he prayed, if it's possible, take the cup. I don't want this. If it's possible, let the cup pass. But nevertheless, I'm willing to lay it all down, Father. I'm willing to lay on that altar. Now, Isaac, of course, as you know the story, the knife never came down. And the Lord spoke to Abram from heaven and said, Abram, Abram. He called him twice, probably because he was old and deaf. And wanted to make sure he got the message. Abram, Abram, no, don't do it. Put the brakes on. Now I know. Now I know that you understand worship. Well, what do you mean? Oh, because you're willing to kill your son. You would have done it. I know that you would have. But now I know that you would have. Now, there's a ram caught in the thicket. And take that ram and get your son out off the altar and put the ram down there and slay the ram as a sacrifice instead of. When Jesus went to the cross, there was no instead of. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And his only begotten son came and willingly laid down his life on a cross. And we have such good examples in the Bible of what it means to really worship. To really surrender all. Is it easier to be Isaac or is it easier to be Abraham? It's not easy to be either one. It must have killed Abraham to think that he would kill his son and sacrifice him. And of course, it was no fun for Isaac to think that I'm going to be that offering. But let's go worship. first mention in the Bible of worship is Genesis 22. And it's the story of Abraham and Isaac. And a full, complete giving up everything to him. Well, we have to close, but just one verse from the New Testament, which you know. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. There it's, okay, Genesis 22, but Romans 12:1 is Genesis 22. It's the story of crucifixion and sacrifice, but it's more than that. It's the story of worship. Well, what does Romans 12:1 say? I beseech you, I implore, Apostle Paul writing to the Christians, I beg you, by the mercies of God, if you understand anything about the mercy of God and the display of mercy shown to you on the cross, and you get that all, I beg you, beseech you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a what? As a living, we don't have to kill you, but we want you to be living sacrifices, totally surrendered and given, just like Isaac was. Totally surrendered and willing to be given and willing to give, just like Abraham was willing to give. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, if the cross means anything to you, if you understand the beginning of the cross and the love of Jesus for you, why, it elicits from your heart a response. And the response is worship. I beseech you by the mercy of God that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy. W-H-O-L-L-Y. Completely, totally. Get the ear and nail it all to the door. Lay down completely, fully on that altar of sacrifice. And then he ends, does Paul, that phrase. King James says, it's your reasonable service. You know what the NIV says?
Spiritual act of worship.
That's your spiritual act of worship. What? That's worship? No, worship is what we do Sunday mornings for an hour. Or what we do before, or we do then, or we're going to go to worship. No, we're not going to worship. We are worshiping. We're worshiping now, and we're going to worship an hour from now, and we're going to worship all afternoon. And wherever you are, your life is a life of worship, and that's what we're going to talk about next week. We finished with the mouth, with the verbal, with the praise, with the opening of our lips, and giving the sacrifice of praise to our God continually. But praise also includes our worship by our living. A life of ceaseless praise. And the two of them have to be congruent. You can't walk around with the big mouth shouting praise to God and then live like the devil. And not sacrifice anything and hold it all for yourself. This is my life. And when I get to worship, then I'll worship him. But then I go back and it's all my life. That's a lot of baloney. What we need to do is catch up our lives with our mouths, or our mouths with our lives, and praise and worship and glorify him. That is your reasonable, your spiritual act of worship. So lay down your life on an altar of sacrifice this morning if it's not there. And if there are things, well, what does Cowper write? All the vain things that charm me the most, I sacrifice them to your blood. Lord, we pray that you will help us to offer ourselves as living sacrifices. Lord, it's our worship to you today. We sing our praise. We shout your triumph. We lift our hands and we glorify your name. We bow low and do reverence and honor to you. That's all part of our praise. But Lord, we pray that our lives, Lord, would be lives of worship, of praise, of givenness and yieldedness to you. And so, Lord, teach us from Genesis 22 what worship is all about. There's a cost, not cheap. It wasn't cheap for you, Lord. Cost your life. It wasn't easy for Father to send his only begotten Son, but worship, willing. And we're so thankful this morning for it. And so by the mercies of God, understanding what you did for us and what it's all about, we freely lead me to your door, Lord. Pierce my ear, nail me on that post. I'm a free man, I'll never be. But we die daily. And so, Lord, help us to take up our cross today and to follow you. Oh, thank you, dear Lord. It's a joyful way. It's not a dirge, not mournful. It's not a funeral. There's victory. It makes way for the kingdom of God and for the life of Christ. Pray, Lord, that you'll bless our day before us, that as we go our separate ways, that your presence will be with us throughout this day. Whether we stay, whether we go, Lord, we pray that our lives this day will be lives worshiping you. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We're 2 minutes late, so have a wonderful day.